Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Chris Armbruster, Portfolio Manager of the KAR Midcap Growth Strategy. Chris, welcome back. Chris, market returns were under pressure in the first quarter, with exuberance for deregulation, pro-market policies, and Fed rate cuts coming into the year, turning to growth fears and inflation persistence with the implementation of a protectionist agenda and tariffs. Can you speak about how this particular strategy performed in the first quarter, both on an absolute and relative basis?
The mid-cap growth strategy lagged the benchmark returns in 2024 and for the first 2 months of 2025, as much of the move higher in the Russell Mid-Cap Growth Index was driven by appreciation in high beta names. In the past, that might have worked more in our favor, but over the last year, we have taken several steps to reduce the variation between this mid-cap growth strategy and other Kayne strategies, and in the process, lowered our exposure to high beta names well below that of the benchmark. At the beginning of 2024, we conducted an in-depth review of the drivers of historical outperformance and underperformance in mid-cap growth. Our primary takeaway was that we held on to high valuation securities too long and let those positions get too big. Additionally, we had too many detractors overall in the portfolio, not reacting to changes in company fundamentals quickly enough. To harmonize our process with that of other Kayne portfolios, we have reduced or eliminated some of the nuance that we formerly employed in the mid-cap growth portfolio. We have reduced the number of holdings from 44 at the start of 2024 to 33 today, narrowing our capital allocation to names with the highest conviction and allowing us to better track changes in company fundamentals. We have been more sensitive to the largest positions in our portfolio to make sure the price appreciation was not outrunning business changes and moved in slightly on the risk curve. When the market peaked on February 19th, mid-cap growth was underperforming the Russell mid-cap growth benchmark by a higher margin, but ended the quarter with a much smaller deficit as the market corrected. We believe this change in relative performance is more indicative of how the strategy should perform in the future.
Chris, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the first quarter?
The top five contributors to the mid-cap growth portfolio this quarter are functional energy drink provider Celsius, multi-carrier insurance broker Goosehead, Latin and South American e-commerce and fintech platform Mercado Libre, pest control provider Rollins, and real estate information services platform CoStar. The name we would like to spend a little more time with this quarter is Rollins. What began with the acquisition of Orkin Exterminating Company in 1968 has evolved into the preeminent multi-brand pest control company in the United States with over 800 locations. While it may not seem like pest control is an exciting industry, we believe it makes for outstanding business. Pest service demand is relatively inelastic, as people don't want to live or work long with pests around, and maintaining a pest-free environment mostly requires ongoing service both in the residential and commercial channels. In the pest control business, brand and reputation matters quite a bit, especially on the commercial side, where a pest-free environment is essential to the business itself. Think of places like food processing, healthcare, and hospitality. Therefore, Rollins doesn't have to compete on price, but rather on the level of service and the quality of results. The business also benefits from route density as it grows, allowing technicians to make more efficient stops, which increases productivity, reduces the number of supporting facilities, and vehicles needed in denser areas. This creates a cost advantage that is hard for smaller operators to match. It also gives Rollins the ability to invest in things like CRM systems and customer-facing apps that only widen the service advantages Rollins maintains over less sophisticated competitors. Rollins' steady business model shined in the first quarter of 2025 amid market volatility, continuing on its high single-digit revenue growth pace with the potential for some acceleration later this year as its sales force investments begin to bear fruit. In our view, it seems well-positioned to push through price increases should it need to with tariffs, and economic uncertainty might open up the potential for Rollins to continue to consolidate the industry through acquisitions like it has done for decades. The bottom five detractors from the mid-cap growth portfolio performance for the quarter were programmatic advertising platform Trade Desk, global e-commerce enabler Global E, fresh pet food pioneer Freshpet, tax software maker Vertex, and technology research and advisory company Gartner. The detractor we wanted to focus on this quarter is Trade Desk. In the past, digital advertising was fraught with opaque solutions that obscured ad placements and spend performance. This is especially true of the walled gardens, which compose over 60% of ad spend. Amazon, for example, competes directly with several customers advertising on the platform. And Google has its own captive platform, which can overweight the value of its owned properties. Google self-grades ad performance, so it's hard to verify. Trade Desk has differentiated itself as an independent, transparent, and unbiased alternative, enabling programmatic ad buying on the open internet, connected TV, and can help customers build out retail media advertising where those retailers can replicate Amazon's ad product on their own websites. Retail media especially requires a truly independent solution free from competitive conflicts of interest. Last quarter, Trade Desk reported its first revenue miss in the last 33 quarters. Several factors, some announced and some speculated, caused revenue growth to decelerate for the second straight quarter and led to the company guiding EBITDA margin for 2025 to decline from 2024 levels. While Trade Desk says it does a reorganization every year, the one in December of 2024 was called the largest in company history, affecting over 50% of employees and seemingly caused more issues than usual. It included streamlining client-facing teams, clarifying responsibilities, especially regarding sales rep focus, on agencies and those focused on brands. Trade Desk says it was meant to prepare the company to scale from $2 billion in revenue to $10 billion. The last point was particularly controversial because Trade Desk was always strongly aligned with the ad agencies, and a shift to more direct relationships with the brands runs the risk of disintermediating some of its largest customers. The other burning question is around competition for ad dollars. There has been a multi-year share shift away from the walled garden advertising to the open internet and connected TV. With the infusion of AI into the walled garden offerings, the ROI on ad spend there might be improving to the point where that share shift might start to reverse. Also, Amazon's DSP has grown gross spend to $12 billion, similar in size to Trade Desk. And now AppLovin is also expanding its ad reach beyond mobile game operators to a broader set of advertisers around DTC commerce with claims of high ad spend ROI. There are more moving parts today than at any other point where we have owned Trade Desk. But we keep coming back to the fact that Trade Desk's platform is still differentiated and sticky. As we see it, there is room for the walled gardens to claw back some share, for competitors like Amazon to continue to grow, and still plenty of room for the Trade Desk to flourish as it takes share from smaller competitors in the industry and benefits from the structural shift to digital advertising broadly, and from linear TV to on-demand viewing.
Chris, can you discuss the impact of tariff policies on the strategy, including any companies that are particularly impacted, and your expectations for how quality businesses will manage this going forward?
Generally, we like to invest in businesses with goods or services that have high pricing power. In times of existential shocks like tariffs, these businesses can adapt to push through those additional costs to customers. This particular policy was so sweeping and happened so rapidly that it may take more time than usual to appreciate the full extent of its impact. and for companies to make the necessary adjustments. One place this hits home is for companies that manufacture outside the United States and then sell in the United States, like On Holdings, who has most of its production in Vietnam. Another would be a company like Global E, who provides services for companies selling cross-border, an activity which now comes with a host of uncertainties. However, there are other, less obvious impacts that could cause disruptions. For example, much of the hardware that is used in IT infrastructure like data centers is manufactured in Asia, and if it becomes more costly to make or import that hardware, it could have a trickle-down effect on the ability to grow software deployments, as all software needs to run on some piece of hardware.
Chris, has the first quarter given you any pause on growth expectations for the companies in the portfolio for this year and beyond?
Certainly, there is risk to medium-term growth expectations for many companies. Strangely enough, some of the immediate-term growth might actually need to be revised higher, as we are seeing a rush of orders for some products to get ahead of the tariffs. That will invariably be demand pulled forward, and we expect many executive teams will be very cautious on their plans for the balance of the year, which will naturally depress investment activity. Our hope is that some policy clarity will give corporate executives the confidence they need to find a sustainable path forward.
Chris, where do you feel most optimistic going forward?
Whether we are still in correction territory or have officially hit the arbitrary threshold to be considered a bear market, the decline in equity values can feel scary. The reason the sell-off is somewhat unprecedented, as it almost always is in times of true weakness, like the collapse of the internet bubble in 2000, the great financial crisis in 08 and 09, and the global pandemic of 2020. In each of those instances, just like in all stock market declines that came before them, businesses found ways to adjust and to evolve. It will be no different this time. We take great comfort in the fact that we would expect our businesses, on average, are much better prepared and able to navigate these challenging realities. We also don't believe it is the goal of this administration to purposefully run the domestic or global economy off a cliff. So if policy becomes punitive, there is room for a course adjustment.
Chris, as always, thank you for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.